Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody is having a wonderful Wednesday today. A lot of things going on at Health Masters as always. Lots of shipments going out to our loyal customers, and we appreciate all of you guys. And how are you doing today, Dad? Live from Greece still.
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. We've been blessed. The weather here has been absolutely amazing the entire time we've been here. So, yeah, it's been good. I've got some more news I want to talk to you guys about. We've had some more people that we've talked to. Today, it's crazy. I'm on an airport on one of the islands coming back, and they told me that they were they were from Syria, and they were living in Kuwait. And they were telling me about what was going on with the bombings and the killings and all the stuff in Syria. And finally, I told them, I said, can you tell me what's going on? They said, it's about the gas pipeline. You know, our president refused to give the gas pipeline, and your CIA came in and basically destroyed our country. I mean, these are the guys.
Wow.
I'm talking to the guy in Syria now. And the guy was there with his two kids, and then the kids said, yeah, our daddy tells us this all the time. I said, yeah, I know. And so he had a picture of their hometown, and Syria has a giant tank sitting out in front of their hometown to try to prevent people from coming in and killing them. I mean, I feel so bad for these people, Austin. It's incredibly horrible what we've done to Syria. And the sad part about it is that, you know, I'm doing everything I can here to tell people that, hey, this is not okay, that this is not going to work okay. And they really are happy to find out that not all the Americans are asleep. I mean, and then the president told me, the father told me, he says, well, we know that what happened in your country, you lost your country to the CIA when John F. Kennedy got shot. Somebody said, everybody knows what's going on in our country. You know, and I'm like, this is just nuts. And then we also talked to another Uber driver tonight. He told us that the immigrants, a lot of them are leaving the country now because it's still summertime, and they're making a beeline for Germany. And he says they pretty much leave Greece alone, and they don't blow anybody up in here at all and do weird things here because all they want to do is get to Germany and get their free stuff. So this is just a major, major disaster that Angela Merkel has caused. And guys, it's not getting any better over here at all. These Uber drivers are driving 16 hours a day for $2.90 an hour in euros, about $3.25 an hour, just to try to pay money to have enough food to feed themselves and their family while the migrants are being fed for free. I mean, same thing over in all of these different countries, Austin. It's absolutely a mess.
That's wild. I mean, it's really wild. Everybody's awake over there, and the guy in Syria, and it's what we talked about before. And I've talked about it with the pipeline cutting through Syria, and I mean, it was almost immediate when Assad basically declared that he was not going to cut Russia out. He was not going to allow the pipeline to go through his country. That basically he was allies with Russia, and he was not going to go behind his back and do a deal that basically cut Russia out. And it was almost immediately after that, ISIS started in Syria. The war started in Syria. We started arming ISIS to basically overthrow the Syrian government and throw out Assad. Because that's all we've done over there, guys. Understand that. All we have done is we label them moderate rebels that are against Assad. That's what we label them, moderate rebels. It's ISIS. If you want to give them a name, that's what they are. They're all the same. They're all colluding together. They all share weapons. They all share tactics. They all do this together. And that's what we did. We started arming these guys with heavy weapons. I'm talking heavy weapons, not just AKs. I'm talking surface air missiles, 20-millimeter cannons, belt-fed 50 cals, all this stuff. We've seen the reports on it. You wonder why we've literally lost hundreds of millions of dollars of firepower that was supposed to get transferred to Iraq and Afghanistan. That just disappeared. Just disappeared. Pentagon doesn't know where it went. Oh, we lost 250,000 machine guns. We don't know what happened to them. They just disappeared. Really? Do they really think the American population's that naive they can't figure out what happened? I remember when the first photos emerged of the ISIS rebels that were being funded by the CIA to overthrow Assad when they're driving through parts of the Middle East, literally in 150 vehicle convoys and brand new Toyotas driving all over the place. Everybody goes, oh my gosh, these guys are organized. Oh my gosh, how did they have all this stuff? They must be really, really effective terrorists. Well, yeah, it's easy to be an effective suspected terrorists when the CIA literally bankrolls every single project that you engage in. That's exactly what they have done to try and destabilize Syria. And I have to give Assad credit and the Syrian military credit. They have held off so long from this barrage from these rebels and ISIS that the CIA has been funding now for the better half of like 6-7 years. And trying to overthrow him, he lasted a lot longer than Gaddafi did, and it's wild. But man, that's crazy, Dad. That the people over there are actually awake. But I'm glad to hear that. I feel bad for them. It's rough of what they're going through over there. The problem is now not just those individuals in Syria that are living over there are trying to get to Europe to flee that war torn country. I can't blame that at all. As I talked to you guys yesterday on the show, there's only literally a small single digit percent of Syrians that are actually getting into Europe. Majority of them are coming out of Somalia. Majority of them are coming out of Bangladesh. A lot of these ones aren't even coming out of war-torn countries. They're simply coming there for economic reasons like free food and free housing. And those are the large percentage of the demographics that are coming in to Europe now with this Muslim invasion. But man, that's pretty wild. I definitely feel sorry for that family, because that's pretty much what we've heard, and they just confirmed exactly what's going on over there.
Well, no, that's exactly what's going on. In fact, it's interesting, because every time I talk to these guys around here that are awake, it's kind of like they're telling me exactly what you and I've been telling everybody over the past 2 years, and not what the mainstream press is telling us. That's why I've always told everybody who listens to our show, I'm not going to believe what the mainstream press says unless I go over there and I see it. That's why I went over to see the borders closed going into Germany. I saw all of that. I reported on that out of Czechoslovakia. I told you guys what was going on over there with the troops and everybody else in those checkpoints. And I did that. I went there and I checked it out myself, because I said, I want to see what in the world's going on and if Angela Merkel's trying to stop this massive influx. So that's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. And it's very interesting to me to see what's happened here. And how everything is just such an unbelievable mess right now with Syria. Oh, by the way, Megyn Kelly, when I first saw her, I thought she was on Fox. I thought, well, she's a conservative. And I thought, wow, she's really, really pretty. She's one of those girls that you just think's really hot. She really is pretty. And then she got her hair cut like a butch. And then she started getting all mean and hateful all the time on the TV towards Trump. And now when I look at her, I don't even think she's pretty anymore. I remember I've dated a bunch of girls like that. You first go out with them and you think, wow, that girl's really, really good looking. And after you date them a couple of times, you're like, wow, that girl's really awful. And this is what she's turned into. And now this has been a complete disaster for her Sunday night show. And she has been pulled. She has been pulled from her Sunday night magazine. It'll be taken off the air at least 2 episodes earlier than scheduled because of her disastrous ratings. But she is basically, first of all, because the conservatives can't stand her. And the liberals can't stand her. The only people are the never Trumpers that have any response to her whatsoever they want to listen to, because they all like to see what she's doing with Trump. Last week, Sunday night with Megyn Kelly set another viewership low with just 2.71 million total viewers. In the last 3 weeks, her show has failed to beat the years old Dateline rerun the network ran in her show's time slot when Kelly took a week off during the 4th of July holiday weekend. In other words, they ran a Dateline rerun that has shown multiple times, and it still beat her numbers. So her
on Hollywood on a holiday weekend.
On a holiday weekend. I mean, unbelievable. So she's got her mouth on her, and I would call her a BMW. I'd call her a big mouth woman. And I tell you what, guys, she's turned into this liberal nightmare, and I will give her credit. She's trying to let her hair grow back out because she realized how bad she looked. I'll give her for that. But, guys, can't say that I'm sad to see her go on Sunday night, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, I haven't seen her at all. The only thing I watched was that abysmal failure of a piece that was called Journalism that she did on Alex Jones a month or so ago. And the problem was, the following that she did have, even as small as it was, when they saw how unbelievably biased and just straight up hatchet job is what it was on Alex when they did that expose on him. Most people that had any respect for true journalism, even if they didn't like Alex, even if they didn't like Trump, you could see right through the garbage they were trying to peddle in. And most people were like, this is ridiculous. They have absolutely nothing to talk about. They have no legitimate news to even bring up on this. All they're doing is a giant smear campaign on Alex Jones and then trying to directly tie it in to Donald Trump. Trump to basically smear the current president of the United States. And it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing for her. It was embarrassing for all the producers. Anybody that was involved in that, I felt bad for them, because honestly, they looked like complete and total blithering idiot buffoon. You could not look much more stupid doing some type of expose like that with straight up fake news, literally doing a full blown hatchet piece on somebody for no good reason. There was no good reason at all. The only reason they did it was mainstream propaganda rhetoric to push the global initiative against Alex Jones and against Donald Trump. That's all it was. So yeah, I'm not sad to see her go at all. I'm not surprised at all. Her ratings are horrible. When you tell me that they run a multi-aired rerun that's been out multiple times on a holiday weekend and it still does better numbers than she has, that means that there is absolutely zero viewership following her whatsoever. But also too, in other news with Big Pharma, you know, we've talked about this for years now, that the levels of Alzheimer's and dementia have skyrocketed. And a lot of those things are due to the excessive aluminum in the chemtrails, excessive aluminum in the drinks and in the cookware. Also, too, the massive amount of statins that have been produced. We talked about how lowering your HDLs and lowering your cholesterol to abnormal levels with these statins and a lot of these medications really cause long-term cognitive side effects, and that the pharmaceutical industry, only thing they're concerned about is making as much money as physically possible. They do not have a single concern in the world about improving public health. But say that again so you guys understand exactly what I'm saying. You can quote me on this. The pharmaceutical company does not have a single care in the world about improving public health. Their primary goal is monetary. They want to make as much money as physically possible. And now the latest figures are showing that even further now, as the pharmaceutical companies as a whole are planning to release as many as 35 new drugs over the next year, over the next 5 years, to treat Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia. Now, you guys already know that a lot of these medications, a lot of this aluminum exposure, a lot of these pesticides, all this stuff now has been directly linked to Alzheimer's. That's a fact. They've done numerous research studies on them. So instead of looking at that, looking at what they're spraying the food with, look at why they're spraying chemtrails on us every single day, look at the massive amount of aluminum canned soft drinks that we're using, look at the aluminum deodorant. No. Don't look at that. We need to come up with a drug now to treat Alzheimer's disease. The multinational corporations are literally racing against one another to be the first to release more blockbuster drugs aimed at Alzheimer's, which stand to generate literally billions of dollars with these drug cartels known as the pharmaceutical industrial complex. With Alzheimer's, it turns out, is the next big market for the pharmaceutical kingpins, which up until now has had a difficult time producing drugs that actually work. There are currently 23 drugs in phase 2 and in phase 3 trials that aim to target amyloid protein buildup in the brain, which they say is believed to be a cause of Alzheimer's disease. Another 28 drugs are being rushed through the approval process right now to treat neurotransmitter activity. Dementia is currently among the fastest growing category of diseases affecting Americans, and money is the only thing the drug companies see, as I already said. Currently, the sixth leading cause of death in the United States now is Alzheimer's, affecting more than 5.5 million Americans. The cost of treating Alzheimer's is estimated to be almost $300 billion this year, and the pharmaceuticals cannot race fast enough to come up with more drugs. Guys, a lot of the side effects from these pharmaceuticals is memory loss, is Alzheimer's, is dementia symptoms. That's exactly what this stuff does, coupled with all the crap we're getting exposed to through the air, through the food, through the water. There's no question at all on why we're seeing Alzheimer's explode like we have over the last 20 to 25 years. But again, let's not look at the facts. Let's not look at the root cause. Let's just bring out a new pharmaceutical drug that we can keep people alive longer on and keep them with Alzheimer's longer so we can make more money off them, Dad. This is nauseating to me, but it seems to be the entire goal of the pharmaceutical complex, and nothing ever changes with them.
Well, they give us the diseases they treat us for.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, that's why, that's their mantra. They, They give us all these different medications that cause all these different diseases, and then they give us drugs to treat the diseases they cause. I mean, look at all the side effect drugs they're using now to treat the side effects of statin drugs, or all the side effect drugs they're trying to use for people now who have high blood pressure or high blood sugar.
Yep.
When you get going with high blood sugar, all of a sudden they got you on 6 or 8 different drugs to treat the complications from the other drugs they're giving you. And not to mention the metformin, yep, one of the primary ones they give you, has been linked to pancreatic cancer. I mean, they don't care. It's just exactly what you said. Everybody has to understand something. It's their fiduciary responsibility to their stockholders to generate as much revenue, as much profit as they possibly can. They want to take cancer and create a disease, a drug that'll treat it for years, if not decades, never cure it, but keep this person on this drug for cancer for years and years and years and years, because by doing so, it massively increases the profits. Always remember, guys, I'm going to break this down for you one more time, because I'm going to talk about polycystic ovary disease in a second, what's going on with all these young girls. But when the Rothschild banking cartel bought up the Fortune 500 companies, they bought up all the pharmaceutical corporations too, and they bought up all the TV shows and all the radio shows, all the stuff they own, and their interlocking corporate directorships. They control it. And what ends up happening is they use one particular type of media to generate revenue for the other types of corporations. And this is what they have done for decades. That's where they get to put you in that alpha theta brainwave state when you're watching TV, to put you in a hypnotic trance. So they'll say, oh, I need that. Oh, I've got arthritis, but I can run to the field chasing butterflies with a net and bouncing like I'm on a springboard like I was when I was 6 years old and now I'm 70. I want that drug. And then all of a sudden it says, oh, by the way, this drug causes sudden death. It causes your heart to stop. By the way, it will give you Alzheimer's disease. And if you're not careful, you'll want to kill yourself and kill everybody else around you, by the way. And on top of all that, you're going to feel absolutely horrible because you'll be puking all day because you're taking this drug. Well, by the way, you'll be able to bounce through the doggone fields and chase butterflies. I mean, who are they kidding? You're too busy clutching the toilet and vomiting all the time. I mean, this is what they do. They lie and lie and lie and lie and lie. Let me give you another example. The epidemic of diseased ovaries. Guys, Gardasil is one of the primary causes of this, and also estrogen dominance is another cause of this. Because what's happening is when you have estrogen and progesterone out of balance because of all the compounds that have estrogen in them, like soy and BPA, it massively continues to promote follicle stimulation of the ovaries. And when this happens, you start getting polycystic ovarian disease. And also with Gardasil, it just rots out the ovaries, and you basically go into menopause. Your ovaries shut down. This is a really good article by Caxeras and Barbara Lowe Fisher, and it says, in the article in the vaccine reaction title, Why Are Americans So Sick?, journalist Rapag noted that the United States has experienced an epidemic of autoimmune disease. She listed several autoimmune diseases associated with chronic inflammation in the body that have become so common that they've come to be seen as normal, including celiac disease, lupus, multiple sclerosis, and type 1 diabetes, which is a lot of it being caused by these immunizations of foods we're eating. Remember, guys, we talked about this last week. When you have food that contains RNA, and it's a switch, RNA is a switch to turn certain genes on, certain genes off, you can create any kind of disease epidemic you want by switching off genes. You can make the ovaries shut down. You can make your testosterone shut down. You can do anything you want to do by flipping genes. It's like turning switches off on your lights back and forth. And they have the ability to do that now. There's another serious chronic health condition becoming more prevalent in the U.S. and other countries, defined as an endocrine hormonal disorder, which some scientists suspect may also be an autoimmune disease. It's called polycystic ovarian syndrome. The U.S. Office of Women's Health estimates that between one in ten women between the ages of 15 and 44, which is 10%, guys, in the U.S. have this. It is an estimated between 8 and 20% of women of reproductive age in the world are affected about this. And what happens is you have enlarged ovaries and small cysts on the outer edges. In polycystic ovarian disease, there's a low level of progesterone because estrogen is antagonistic to progesterone, and you're overstimulating the body with estrogen. It also happens when women get fat and get overweight, become obese. They start producing way too much estrogen, which throws off the progesterone, which causes their whole system to overstimulate the immune system, which then produces two of the more and more estrogen, okay? And so it makes them sicker and sicker and sicker, and it also makes them sterile in many cases. Now, there are all kinds of things. You can read this whole article if you'd like. The name of the article is The Epidemic of Diseased Ovaries. And if you read the whole article, it goes into infinite, really, really micro detail on what happens, and they start quoting all of these other people, what's happening on it. And it also says she recommends a diet of high fiber foods. Now, listen to what she says. This is going to blow your mind. She actually says this. Listen to this. I'm going to read what she says. She said, you have to also reduce the amount of sugar impact on the blood, because when you have this, all this happens, it elevates insulin. She specifically recommends broccoli, cauliflower, sprouts, red leaf lettuce, green and red peppers, which is good unless you have arthritis, beans and lentils, tomatoes unless you have arthritis, spinach, almonds, walnuts, olive oil, and fruit, and blueberries and strawberries, and fatty fish. And she also recommends tofu. Now, guys, no tofu. That's soy. It's estrogen again. She's recommending that people eat tofu if they have polycystic ovarian disease. That's an absolute no-no. It puts more estrogen into your system. Tofu is an estrogen mimicker. If you drink a glass of soy milk, it's like taking two birth control pills with the amount of estrogen it creates. I mean, you don't want to put this stuff in your body. Tofu is like, if you're a guy and you want to have to wear a D-cup bra, that'd be kind of gross and crude, it's called gynecomastia, start eating a bunch of tofu and drinking a bunch of soy milk. You'll be fine. Look, you'll be finding your way to Victoria's Secret pretty quick. I mean, it's pretty messed up. And so here's this lady telling people, she gets all this good information and she throws in tofu. No, use chicken, use fish, but they're good for you and they're really healthy for you. Everything else she says is correct. And then she goes on to say, this other author, she's quoting another author on that, by the way. She goes, an epidemic of diseased ovaries, where is the research? She goes, while there are no studies to confirm the link of PCOS and certain drugs or vaccines, questions have been raised about girls that have received the Gardasil shot. Here we go.
There you go.
Gardasil, as well as many other childhood vaccines, contain the neurotoxin aluminum. Aluminum is an adjuvant added to vaccines to stimulate a strong immune response in the body and the production of artificial immunity. Aluminum is also known to disrupt the endocrine system, which secretes the hormones that regulate the metabolism. We told you this 100 times. The epidemic of diseased ovary among young girls and women in the U.S. and around the world raises questions about why there has not been more targeted research by public health agencies into genetic, epigenetic, and environmental cause of major endocrine disruptors, including BPA, dioxin, atrazine, soy, I'm adding that, phthalate, fire retardant, lead, mercury, aluminum, arsenic, organophosphate pesticides, which they spray on everything, by the way, that we're eating nowadays, glycol ethers and other toxins. All the research money is focused on developing, here we go, new vaccines for infectious diseases that cause complications in a small minority of people, while millions of young girls and women suffer silently with no end in sight. Guys, this is a disaster. This entire endocrine disruption is part of the eugenics program that they put on this planet to disrupt reproductive cycles. That's what this is. Now you think, well, I can't believe you're saying that. I'm telling you guys, that's what this is. This is trying to take girls, make them infertile, stop their ovaries from functioning, shutting down their system, and not letting them have babies, and replacing our population of people in this country with immigrants. That's what they want to do, because they know we got too many gun-toting patriots running around in this country right now that they're not going to be able to waltz in here with their little stupid dandelion little boys they got running around now, and that Trump got the transgenders out of the military and take this country over. They know that. So the way they got to do, they get us out by breeding cycles. They got to take us out by not letting us reproduce. This is, remember, these Rothschild Sabbatean boys, this isn't some 5-year, 10-year cycle these stinking weirdos are on. This is a century-long thing. They've been doing this for 3 centuries now. This isn't something they've been trying to do for the last couple of weeks. They don't care if it takes another century to do this. They want to bring their god, Lucifer, up from the pit, the serpent out of the pit, to let him reign on this planet. That's the goal of all of this, upturned, everything upside down that God has made. See, and when you start talking to people about this, they either think you're crazy, which is all right, or they think you're basically really well-informed, or you're really strange, one of the three, one of the things, or, you know, whatever. But it's like tonight, we were talking with Harrison. We're having dinner here in Greece. We have one more night here. And he was talking about the moon, and he started asking some questions about the moon. And I finally said to him, I said, Harrison, here's the problem. I've not been to the moon. You've not been to the moon. Austin's not been to the moon, and chances are we're not on the short list going to the moon. And I said, I don't know what the moon is. I don't know how the moon is being made. I don't know what the moon does. I don't even know how the moon got there, okay? That's beyond my pay grade. I said, so when they tell us that Apollo 11 went to the moon with a quarter inch of aluminum shielding through the Van Allen radiation belt, you know, it makes me wonder, especially when I have a good friend of mine. His name is Lee Hsu, and he was an electrical engineer for NASA back in the 60s during the Apollo project. And he told me that he didn't believe we went to the moon. Now, this is the electrical engineer who was at the Cape Canaveral when all this was going on. And he said they shifted all the telemetry to Australia and south of the equator so that they couldn't be tracked. And he said, I don't believe they've been up there. He says, I believe they've been up there, you know, with other types of, you know, vehicles. He goes, but I don't believe the Apollo program was ever designed to do that. That was all part of the space race we were having with the Russians to see if their German rocket scientists were smarter than our rocket German rocket scientists, was what Bob Hope used to joke about. And that's what he said happened. Now, me personally, here's my whole take on this. I believe we've been to the moon. I have no idea how we got there. I have no idea. I think it was with reverse-engineered spacecraft that Colonel Corso talks about in the day after Roswell. That's why I think we did it. Personally, that's why I think is the easiest way to do all of this. But we had to have a show. We had to have a show with Apollo. And now, whether or not Apollo went to the moon, didn't go to the moon, I don't know. It could have gone to the moon. I'm saying I don't know. And that's what I told your brother tonight. I said, I don't know what they're doing up there. I said, all I know is when the Russians hit the moon with a doggone projectile back in the 60s, it rang like it was hollow for about a half a day with a giant gong going off. Now, what the heck's that all about if it's a solid piece of rock? So we have no idea what's on the moon, period. I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. So my whole thing is this. I believed everything I was taught when I was in college. I did. I believed it all. You know, when you're in the university, you're being trained in biochemistry, and you're spending 400 hours in the biochemical genetics lab, and you got these professors that are telling you all this stuff, and you're a young kid, you're in your 20s, you believe they know what they're talking about. You pretty much think, okay, he's got to be right. Well, the problem is these same professors nowadays are secularized, totally, and these guys are teaching these kids all this New Age crap and all of this stuff about how transgenderism is good and gay is good and there's nothing wrong with being weird and all this other stuff. And the problem with it is these kids are believing and buying this and they're not learning to question what people tell them. See, here's the thing. I listen to everything that pretty much people say, unless it gets really weird. I don't want to put it in my brain. I'll say I don't want to hear all that. But I will then verify it by my own research, by my own reading. I will read a bunch of books on the topic and a bunch of articles on the topic, and I'll make up my own mind on what I think happened. That's how I look at it. So I'm not telling you guys to believe that we didn't go to the moon. It doesn't make any difference. Like I said, we don't have a ticket to get there. None of us are listening to this show that I know of. The CIA's listening. They may have a ticket. But the whole point is this. It doesn't make any difference. Today is the day the Lord hath made, and I shall rejoice, and I'll be glad in it, whether we went to the moon or not. It doesn't make a difference to me. Because the truth is this. I'm going to question everything this whacked-out Sabbatean Kabbalist government is telling us until we get some people into Congress that haven't been completely and been totally compromised with all their perversions and sicko on stuff on film they talked about, that Wayne Allyn Root told us about, and also Robert David Steele told us about. That's what's going on. So we have a group of people up in Washington, D.C., that are a bunch of stinking perverts, and we don't know what to do to get these guys out. They've taken over the country to the point that I get a guy from Syria today telling me that we lost our country when Kennedy got assassinated. I mean, does anybody not know this in our country besides the people all over the world? It's awful when they think of us over here because they think we're all completely asleep in the United States, that all we care about was what kind of watch and what kind of car we're driving and, you know, what kind of clothes we wear. I mean, this is the craziest thing that you've got to understand, guys, that the United States has lost its quote-unquote leadership ability in the world because they think we're asleep over here because we've got all these nutbags doing this stuff. And the guy I said to him, to Russia, I said, what's going on with, why do you think Russia's getting sanctions? He goes, Russia's getting sanctions because they want to take away the reserve currency of the United States, and they want them to do that. I'm thinking, myself, well, God, this guy should be doing a show with us tonight. And I said, that's exactly right. That's why they're doing this. He goes, everybody knows that. It's all about the central banks. They control the world. I said, that's right. See, and that's why we keep this show on point. And I said to you guys, I say, look, question everything. Verify everything you possibly can. And if you're not sure about it, put it over in the mystery box and say, you know what? Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I'm putting that in a mystery box because that just seems a little bit too weird to me. I mean, think about it, guys. They're telling us we can't go to the moon anymore because we no longer have that technology. That's what NASA said. What kind of crap is that? What kind of crap statement is that? We went to the moon supposedly 50, 60 years ago, and now they're telling us we no longer have the technology, and we were running it on basically a little tiny Texas Instrument calculator back then, which was, you know, our telephones have 1,000 times more computing power than as the spaceships did to the moon. And they're telling us we no longer have the technology. Well, doesn't that seem strange to anybody but to me? It just seems strange. The same thing with the space shuttle. The space shuttle was antiquated technology. That's why it had to be disassembled and taken apart. We haven't lost our ability to put payloads into orbit. That's all a bunch of lies. Germany developed anti-gravity technology back in the 30s. I mean, we've got this massive system of advanced technology, this breakaway civilization, so to speak, and they kept us all down here in the Stone Age. They don't even have to. We don't even need gasoline or diesel fuel or anything like that. We could get energy directly out of the air, like Tesla said we could, totally for free. because of the energy buildup and the static discharges coming out of the atmosphere. We don't need any of this old technology, but they're keeping this stuff in the dark. Like we're like a bunch of, they're growing a bunch of mushrooms in a pile of poop in the backyard in a doggone tent in the dark. That's how they treat us, and I'm sick of it. And now I'm coming over here and I'm talking to all these people, and they all know what's going on. Unless you're listening to our show or Alex Jones' show or Hagman's show or Sheila's show or Dave's show, you're completely clueless in the United States, and people want to listen to, well, at least they don't want to listen to Megyn Kelly anymore because she's a complete little bimbo. But the reality is this, Austin, if we keep telling people the truth and our listeners keep telling people to listen to this show, we're going to get bigger and bigger and a bigger and a bigger footprint. Because I tell you what, guys, I've told you this before, I'm not turning this show into an infomercial. I will never do it. God's will done. God's way never lacks God's support. And I will never, ever compromise and not tell you guys the truth. When I find out something and I know I can verify it, I will tell you what I found out. If I'm not sure, I will say, I'm not sure. This is what I think. So anyhow, I know I'm on a tear. What's your next story, Austin?
No, that was definitely excellent, man. That was really, really good info. I'm glad you got a lot of that out. And going what you're saying now, and they've already been doing this, in my opinion, for quite some time. But now, again, like we talked about with the DARPA grant for $65 million that they're wanting to create super soldiers with now, now they just released a new article saying that scientists have successfully edited the DNA of human embryos now, which is the first time gene editing on human embryos has been conducted in the United States, which is a complete and total lie, in my opinion. But what they're doing is now, they're slowly starting to let all this stuff out in the mainstream media. They, of course, said the embryos were allowed to grow for only a few days, and they never had any intentions in implanting them to create a pregnancy, but they acknowledge they will continue to move forward with the science with the ultimate goal of being able to correct disease-causing genes in embryos that will develop into babies. They're using the CRISPR technology, which I've talked about before, which is type of basically molecular scissors, and it pushes the boundaries of our ability as far as manipulating life. But they've already been working on this for years, and now, again, they're coming out with these articles to slowly desensitize the public into saying, oh, well, they're doing this now. They're gene editing. They're using CRISPR on, you know, human genes, human embryos, but they're not allowing them to turn into a pregnancy. But they want to move forward and to allow them to make them into embryos that will develop into babies. They've already done all this stuff. They've been doing it for an extended period of time now, as Dad and I have talked about a lot. But they're trying to slowly desensitize the population to a lot of this really, really weird stuff they're working on. And Dad, it's definitely pretty wild what's going on right now. And also, too, with Donald Trump and the Russian sanctions, it looked like today, from what I've read, Donald Trump did sign the legislation today that basically slapped sanctions on Russia. And essentially, he signed the bill with Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and said he was not happy about it in private. The White House sent out a statement about the president revealing the depths of his unhappiness and boasting that basically his billions showed he was far better at deal-making than Congress. Trump said despite some changes, the bill was extremely flawed, particularly because it encroached on the executive branch's authority to negotiate. He said parts of it are totally unconstitutional and signaled total tension with Republicans by criticizing their failure to repeal and replace Obamacare, yet being able to come together and slap unconstitutional sanctions on Russia. He basically said despite the problems, he signed the bill for the sake of national unity. He said it represents the will of the American people to see Russia take steps to improve relations with the United States, which I think is complete and total lie. In my opinion, I think they told him he was supposed to sign this. This is one of those bills. As much the bipartisan agreement it got in Congress was insanity to me. The fact they can't even agree with something on getting rid of health care, but yet they can all unanimously agree and sign this unbelievably act of war, unconstitutional sanctions on Russia. And to me, it seems like this is one of those times when a bunch of favors got called in. This is one of those times when somebody comes to your office and says, hey, we let you do your thing. We know what you've done in the past. You already know we got video on you. We need you to vote in favor of this. This is not a question. We are not asking. We are telling you this is what you're going to do this time. I've never seen this type of unanimous decision with Congress on anything significant in recent history, except now they've done it and literally completely blocked Russia from doing any type of business with anybody that's allies with the United States. This is an act of war. I do expect Russia to have some type of retaliation shortly, simply because they have no choice, and that's what I think a lot of this was about, was getting Russia to retaliate by doing this, so now we can blame everything on Russia. And again, as I talked about the other day, the main pipeline that Germany was working on with Russia, they are essentially barred from doing that now via this act that Trump signed into law, and essentially the United States will threaten to sanction Germany now if they go into dealings with Russia. So this is pretty wild. Again, in my opinion, it is complete and total act of war. I went into detail on it last Friday. If you guys want to hear the synopsis on the bill that passed, I read a bunch of it and went into detail on it, so you guys can listen to it there. We don't have time today. But yeah, Dad, I'm pretty disappointed. He went ahead and signed it. He's basically making it public that he's not happy about signing it, but then he's going on and saying something completely different on how it was basically the will of the American public and that Congress was unified on it. I think a lot of this just really absolutely stinks right now.
Wow, I didn't know you'd signed it, Austin. I've been busy all day. I haven't been looking at the updates. Very disappointed in Trump. He's placating us with what he's doing. You've got the Christians coming there and praying for him, and he's turning around and basically doing what his Rothschild handlers wanted to do. Again, the only thing I could say is this. Maybe there's really a serious, serious movement of Russia trying to usurp the currency that we have in our country, which basically is controlling the entire world right now as far as the reserve currency. And we bankrupted the Soviet Union in the 80s under Reagan. I mean, bankrupted, destroyed them. And, you know, stole money from them, froze counts on them. I mean, did all kinds of stuff. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars. And they haven't forgotten that. I mean, they were the Soviet Union. Now they're not. Now they're Russia. And I don't believe for one second they have forgotten any of that. And quite frankly, they're trying to get the Rothschild stranglehold of the planet off of the planet. And if they come up with another basket of currencies and another reserve currency and they start trading in gold and rubles and all the things which they're planning on doing, it'll definitely upset the apple cart. And that's the only reason I could see that Trump would have signed this, because he's trying to protect the national interests of the United States as far as the currency. And see, what we have to do is this. We've got to realize something. If we decide that we don't want to be the reserve currency, or we lose that status like England did, once you lose the reserve status, it's over with. It's done. You're done. Because you can't just borrow as much money as you want to borrow. They're not behind you just printing the presses and going and going and going. And we're not going to be able to operate 800 bases around the world. I mean, it's not going to be possible. I mean, the CIA is running this thing with a Sabbatean cabal. So we know that. And now we know that they're the ones that are pushing Trump to do this. But, you know, let's ask ourselves a question. Is it in our best interest to allow Russia to go out now and start a reserve currency, you know, using the ruble and working with China and completely collapsing the entire world currency right now? We've got to look at it like Trump's looking at it, or maybe perhaps like Congress looking at it. I don't think that's in our best interest. But what we need to do is talk to Russia about what they're doing and not throw all these sanctions on them. Trump needs to sit down and negotiate with Putin and say, hey, look, here's the deal. We know what you're doing. We know you're trying to set up another basket of currencies. We know what you're trying to do. You're trying to trade in gold and rubles. We got all that. The problem is we can't maintain our hegemony by you guys doing that. And so we can't allow you to do that. You're going to have to back off of this, at least to my presidency, and not allow us to be involved in this, you know, not be involved in this. But to say it's the will of the people, when the will of the people know that this whole thing with the Russian meddling in our elections is a lie, he doesn't understand where the pulse is. I mean, they sent me a survey the other day, and I told them, I said, leave Russia alone. I said, leave them alone. Get out of the Middle East. See, the whole thing, guys, we're going to have to figure out what to do here with the United States. We got to figure out where we want to be. First of all, we can make everything completely illegal that the Rothschilds say we owe them. That's done. We can just stop that, to say you guys have thought you have basically ripped us off. You've stolen our industry. You've done all of this stuff. We're taking all of our stuff back. This is exactly what Hitler did with Germany during the 30s. And he said, you know, tell you what, guys, we're nationalizing the industry. You guys stole it because you bought up our Fortune 500 corporations. The same as they've done here with us. during the blowout with the Weimar Republic. You did it on purpose, so we're taking our stuff back. Now that we could do that, it's like Catherine Austin Fitch said, they stole $40 trillion right now. $40 trillion. They've taken $40 trillion out of the United States. She goes, that will fund like every pension, every retirement, every Social Security thing, everything, $40 trillion. It'll rebuild the entire country, for heaven's sake. It'll give us all new highways and streets and bridges. It'll do everything. We can have a brand new country. They just give us our money back. See, and that's the thing that he needs to talk to Trump about, to Putin about. It's the thing that we have to get this chokehold that's on the United States from the Rothschild banking cartel, the Federal Reserve Bank. We have to unlatch that nightmare octopus squid that's wrapped its tentacles around the entire planet and get rid of this blood sucking blankety blank. And we got to get rid of this thing. And so we've got to work together with these other countries, not sanction them, to reestablish what we need to reestablish and to stop this mess, Austin. That's how I look at it. What do you think?
No, you're exactly right. And that's the only thing we can do about it. And I don't know exactly what the whole entire reason was with them signing this bill so fast. I know, in my opinion, whenever they try to force something through very quickly, as Congress did with this, you know, one-day turnaround, you know, the next day they signed it, the Senate did signed it the same day when they got it in there. Very strange to me. And you are right on that aspect. If they really are trying to completely drop the United States currency and go in gold, but again, you have to look at their perspective on it as well. The U.S. dollar is completely out of control. I mean, even the Federal Reserve blatantly said, we're going to start making $85 billion a month and sending it to the reserve banks in quantitative easing infinity 2 years ago. They've been printing money hand over fist, like literally it's not going out of style. And so they've done this, and it's completely destabilized our dollar doing it. It's devalued our currency, and this is what the goal is. And so, as you just said, they can keep their 800-plus military bases going. They can keep their CIA black ops funded. They can continue with their heroin imports in the United States. They can continue with their lawless, unconstitutional wars in literally dozens of countries all over the planet simultaneously at any given time. So, yes, it's definitely not in our best interest to allow another country to come in with a gold-backed currency. But again, how long are we going to allow this as the American population? If the dollar becomes no longer the reserve currency of the world, it will absolutely suck for all of us. It will. I mean, things will change the United States very, very quickly. It will not be a fun place to live for the short time being when it first happens, and probably for the foreseeable future after it happens. It will not be a good time at all. That's why I always tell people, if a situation like that happens, make sure you guys already have plans ahead as far as food, water, ammunition, survival gear, fire, clothing, anything you need in your area of the world or your area of the United States, make sure you have it. Because this you know, game can only go on so long. They're basically playing musical chairs, and eventually somebody's going to be left out, and it's going to be us at some point in time. And so I think this is one of the last straws the United States is doing to try and force Russia into submission right now, because they want to do everything they can to maintain their global dominance with the Federal Reserve Bank. And it's a love-hate with us, because if the reserve currency gets dropped to the United States, you just said, it's not good at all for us. It would be very, very bad. But on the other hand, too, if it stays the reserve currency, the only thing we're going to do is continue the same policies we've already continued to do with the Federal Reserve, and that's allow them to literally dictate the global structure of everything that's going on and be the giant bullies of the world and completely and totally overthrow every country we don't agree with and start a civil war to overthrow individuals like Assad when we can't control the pipeline projects because Russia wants to do a deal. So it's got so much weight on both sides of it, man, that's going on. But in my opinion, I think there's even more stuff underneath the surface that we're even seeing right now. So we're definitely going to have to continue to monitor this very closely and see exactly what's going on. And again, we'll give you guys the most accurate updates that we find, as we always do here at the Ted and Austin Brower Show.
Well, Austin, you know, we're the only show that's talking about this reserve currency status with Russia. I haven't heard anybody else talk about it. Nobody. I mean, nobody. And, I mean, you know, this thing saying they're meddling in our elections, that's complete and total poppycock. I mean, it's garbage.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we know that even the Gay Kenyans said they weren't doing it. I mean, so this is all this is a bunch of lies to try to make us think what they're doing is correct, and nobody's thinking about the fact there's something much more. You always got to follow the money with these stinking Sabbateans. And the thing about it is, I'm so sick of this doggone, this group of people having this stranglehold on this country and the entire planet, for heaven's sake, with their stupid wanting to resurrect their stupid little demon god from the pit. I mean, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of all these nutbags acting like this and nobody standing up to these guys. I mean, what we have to realize is that we need to sit together with Russia, with England, with Germany, and we got to say, hey, look, things are starting to suck. These guys have really, really, really put everybody into debt. They're putting Germany in debt now. They're putting England into debt now. Russia's trying to get out of it. China's trying to get out of it. The United States has been sucked into this pit. We got to figure out how to replace this reserve currency that we have with another system that's going to work, and that we all can be, we can all get debt-free currency, and we can base it on national assets and productivity. We don't need to have this Babylonian money magic, this fiat currency that's basically just magic money that we produce. Nobody needs to do that anymore. We need to slow the economy down, slow it down, get factories and manufacturing back in the United States, and just get people back to work again, and stop all of this. Oh, we've got to have a 20% return, return off the stock market this year. We got to stop all this crap, and we got to say, look, we got to tighten our shoelaces, we got to put on our hiking boots. We got to put on our doggone pants, as far as what we want to go through some deep brush with, and we got to figure out how to fix this mess. But kicking this can down the road, that's what we're doing right now. We're kicking the can down the road by putting sanctions on Russia. And this is not a good can to kick, because these guys are absolutely, excuse my language, hell-bent on starting World War III. That's what they want to do. They want to reduce the population by 7 billion people on this planet. That's their stated goal, 500 million people left alive. That's what they want. Now, I don't think for one second they're doing it with nuclear weapons, because they're not going to tear up their own infrastructure. And I've told you guys that. But I believe that, they're doing it with this depopulation agenda, what I've read about with these Gardasils, with all these vaccines, and they can do it with radiation. They can do it with releasing biologicals. They can do all kinds of stuff. They can kill this planet without ever detonating a nuclear bomb. But guys, listen to me for a second. There's a reason they built deep underground nuclear facility bomb shelters. It's not because of nuclear bombs. It's because of whatever they release on the planet. They want to keep the people alive in those shelters, the 400 or 500 million around the world or whatever they've built for, to repopulate the planet. Guys, it's like a zombie apocalypse movie. That's the problem is we're in the middle of it. I mean, see, this is the problem that we've got with these nutbags in charge. Everybody just sit down and say, hey, wait a minute. We got a problem with third world countries wanting to over in reproduction. We got to figure out how to get these guys to stop having 14 babies. We got to figure that one out. I said, we got to figure out how to let these guys not use, to feed themselves. We got to figure out how to stop this massive immigration. We got to figure out how to get production back into the United States that we need to have as far as producing our own products, making it self-reliant and independent again. Let's figure out how to make us stronger first, and then we can always work on redoing all of these other things. But let's not start sanctioning other countries because they've got us mad. Let's leave them alone. Let's say, hey, guys, Russia, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and leave you guys be. Let's work together on this problem with these Rothschilds, and let's get these bloodsuckers off of us, and let's do it all at the same time and take them out back and hang them. That's what we need to do. Get these guys off of us and then start this thing over again and reboot the planet. That would be ideal. By the way, let me give you, we're almost out of time. Boy, quick show tonight. The epidemic silence with adverse drug reactions. One of the more bothersome feedback loops that keeps adverse drug reactions being recognized is that the patients stay silent about their pain and suffering, and therefore their pain and suffering is not recognized or appreciated, and everyone gets to continue to think that dangerous drugs are safe, and that adverse reactions are rare. Seeing is believing, and neither doctors nor the patients see the ill effect of drugs, in part because we simply aren't screaming. They're saying, and I've read it over 100 times, it's about 1% of the people who complain about adverse drug reaction. Guys, if we knew what was going on just with vaccines, with the millions and millions of people that have been affected in these horrible, horrible problems for these products they're putting into us, everybody would be screaming bloody murder. Here's another one. Intelligent people who are stupid about vaccines. This is a great article by Caxeras. It says, the more highly skilled and educated populations are clearly questioning vaccination. That statement was recently made by Lorraine Baker, MD, president of AMA Victoria, a medical trade association representing doctors in Australia's southeastern state of Victoria. It is not an unusual statement to make when referring to people who veer from mainstream vaccine science, either a little or a lot. Here's what they're saying. Anti-vaccination parents are richer and they're better educated. Immunization, more education may not mean more vaccination. More educated parents are less likely to vaccinate and feed children sugar and GMO foods. New study says vaccine deniers, here we are, listen to this, vaccine deniers are richer, and they got to throw in wider, we're wider, richer and wider and more educated. Rich, educated, and stupid parents are driving the vaccination crisis. Now, they're saying that we're rich, educated, but we're stupid because we're not vaccinating, and now there's a vaccination crisis. There's never been a vaccination crisis. There's a vaccination crisis when everybody vaccinates. Why do affluent, well-educated people refuse vaccines? Why some rich, educated parents avoid vaccines? And, of course, this recognition by mandatory vaccination apologists of the high education level and earning power of vaccine dissenters is curiously often delivered as an insult. Beneath the insult lies a subliminal question: if you're so smart, then how can you be so stupid to disagree with us about our vaccination program? Guys, listen to this. That's how they talk to us. And the reality is, because we've read the research and we know that there's something going on with 1 in 40 children have autism, and MIT says by 2025, 1 in 2 are going to have autism, and that by 2035, all children of all boys are going to have autism, and by 2037, all girls are going to have autism. If that doesn't get anybody's attention in the scientific community, they're a blithering idiot. And see, that's the problem that we've run into, Austin. Nobody wants to question orthodoxy in medicine, or with NASA, or with anybody. We're just told, let's be the sheeple. Shut up, get in your pen, eat so we can slaughter you. That's all they care about. They don't care about humans. They don't care about us. They think we're doggone goyim cattle. They don't care anything about any of us. All they want us to do is stop having babies and die. That's all they care about, guys. And the problem is, when you start questioning them and you start giving them their own medical research from reputable organizations, they're like, you're a vaccine denier. You're a vaccine denier. Okay. All right. I'm a vaccine denier. I'm good. I don't care. Names aren't going to hurt me because I'm not going to inject my children with this type of poison, Austin. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Don't forget, we're also statin deniers, too, now, as of yesterday. Also statin deniers.
I am that, too, buddy. I am a statin denier.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, you said, you know, in that article about 20 minutes ago, you said it so succinctly when you're reading with that lady, Sam, is that we have a small group of people that get these diseases that are usually very minor as far as the side effects a lot of times. They're usually not deadly in any cases. And we're trying to subject the entire population to these vaccines that have significant side effects. We already know that. Long-term side effects, not just, you know, oh, well, I got a fever, or I got sick, or I got swelling. Like, that's whatever. Okay, I got that. Sometimes that can be a side effect of anything. But we're talking long-term side effects, like with this HPV, you know, infertility. Completely done. Infertile, done, after you get the shot. All types of issues as far as, you know, they're paralyzed, they can't even move, they're in hospital beds, they're wheelchair-bound for the rest of their life. These are all significant side effects that are happening literally by the tens of thousands all over the country for a very minor virus like the HPV virus that only causes cancer in like 5% of the people that ever get it. That's it. And those numbers, in my opinion, are high from what I've read. So this is what we're looking at now when they have the chickenpox vaccine and the measles vaccine. You know, when I talked to my natural doctor here in, you know, in Florida, he's told me blatantly, he said, I'll do any vaccines you want to do. I won't do any vaccines if you don't want to do any. I don't really care. It's completely up to you. I want you to make the decision. He goes, but my personal opinion, vaccines are really only needed or only warranted if the vaccine is doing something to prevent a problem that is either extremely contagious and deadly at the same time. And he goes, really? There's not anything that falls into that category. One of the only things that could fall into that category is tetanus. He said, so if you are really concerned about it, once your child starts getting older and they're developed and their brains develop, if you want them to get a tetanus shot, we can do a tetanus shot. If you don't, you don't have to do it. He goes, but that's my opinion on it. He said the 70-plus vaccinations that we're trying to force on the American population now is completely and totally out of control, and it's very, very unwarranted, especially for the large percentage of the vaccines that we're producing these for that have literally tens of thousands of people having side effects every single month from them, and there's not really anything significant that they're preventing more than somebody being sick for 2, 3, 4, 5 days. So, yeah, I'm glad we got to address a lot of that today, Dad. We, you know, say, you know, guys, sometimes we talk about the same things. I understand that. For our listeners that listen to us every single day, I appreciate your support. Thank you for dealing with us every single day. But sometimes we have to bring this stuff up over and over again because these are serious, significant problems that most people are not wanting to address whatsoever, and we have to bring it about because the war on our health, the war on our bodies, the war on our minds are some of the most aggressive wars that are being fought right now in the United States because of what they're trying to do to us. As you just saw, Dad just said, the guy in Syria was very clear about his stance on that, so I'm glad we got to address a lot of that today, Dad.
Well, I love to talk about this stuff, and the reality is that, you know, this is the Ted Dawson Brower Show, bringing you the latest health research and world news. I mean, if a new person comes out and starts saying things about vaccines or starts refuting what we're saying on a national level, I've got to come back in and I've got to clarify exactly what these guys are saying and why they're saying it. And I've got to bring you the latest research showing you why we're right and they're not. Otherwise, what's the point of me not talking about this stuff for 6 or 8 months and having a bunch of people who just tuned in listening go out and vaccinate their kids and say, what the heck's wrong with you, Ted? Why didn't you tell us this 6 months ago before we did this? That's why I do it, because it's that important to me. Guys, I love you. Love you a lot, actually. I'm missing being home right now. I'm looking forward to coming home, but I'll be home in a couple of days. I appreciate you. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for listening to the show. I hope it was one of those entertaining ones. I think I had some baklava tonight off, and I got a bit too much honey in my system, so I got kind of energized. So it's one of those things. I've got all puffy here. So, guys, I appreciate you. Thanks for getting your vitamins from us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling your friends about the show. Thanks for your support. I just told you guys are like family to us. You're like sitting around the kitchen table talking to us every day. So I love you. I love you, and I appreciate you. Austin, go ahead and write up your summaries, and I'll let you guys close. God bless you guys. Good night.
Absolutely, bud. We appreciate it. Thank you guys for all the support. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the phone calls every day. We appreciate all of them. Also, too, today's product of the week changeover. So you guys voted, and it won. It's the magnesium sports oil, which is basically our ionic mineral magnesium solution. It's got multiple different essential oils in it. It's really, really good for energy, really good for muscle, you know, as far as long-term muscle usage as far as with working out, reduces fatigue, cramping, speeds muscle recovery. Really, really great product. Check that out, the topical sports magnesium oil on the website at healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.